listening to the Remodeling Expo Center Home Show with Shannon Burke, exclusively on News Radio 106.7.
Welcome to the Remodeling Expo Home Show. My name is Shannon Burke, and thank you for tuning in this morning. In the studio with me from Atlas Piers is Chad Costello. Chad, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having us on today, Shannon.
You're very welcome. Atlas Piers is a, if you had to describe it, it's a foundation repair.
Yes.
Right? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, we're qualified under a foundation repair company.
They're qualified?
Well, we are. That's what we would be categorized as.
Because you know what you're doing, you have a license, and not like anybody can go out and just correct your foundation.
Right, yeah. Well, just a wealth of experience in foundation repair. And this is something we've exclusively done since the beginning.
You've been around for a while?
Yes, sir. I personally have been employed with Atlas Piers for 17 years.
Wow.
The company's been in business since 1987, was originally founded by Wayne Ferris. Looking for different solutions for dealing with foundation repairs.
You know, I was thinking about that as I made some notes here. Humans have been building dwellings for eons.
Sure.
And whenever I drive around and I see a new home being built or just a building, it's always the same way. You clear the ground. I don't know if they've done a certain kind of soil. Then they put the forms up if it's a slab foundation, mm-hmm. and they lay the rebar and they pour the concrete.
Right.
And then it dries, and then you pull the forms out, and lo and behold, you've got a foundation. Right.
You've got a foundation. You're ready to build.
But at some point, I mean, it's just sitting on some dirt, mm-hmm. basically. At some point in the history of that building, it's more than likely going to have some movement, some shifting, the ground underneath it, so right. on and so forth.
Yeah, we understand that all structures move to some extent. The difference is when one area moves more than the other, and we call that differential settlement. That's when you start to have problems.
Because you'd rather your house all be going at the same time.
Yeah,
in the
just
right
very
direction.
small amount of movement altogether, and you would not even notice that it moved. But when you have one area that moves more drastic than the other, that's when you start to see cracks and tears and sheetrock, misaligned floors and things of that nature.
Are there is there a time frame that, like, okay, we're building this house, it'll be done, in 2 months. In 25 years, it may. I mean, is there a time when most homes have a foundation issue in their life, in their history?
I originally thought that there was when I started with the company. I saw that a lot of the structures we were repairing were fairly new, when we thought that it was happening within the first 3 or 4 years is when the majority of the settlement would take place. However, I've learned over the years that no structure is immune regardless of the age. We'll go out one day and we'll underpin a structure that's brand new that no one's ever lived in, turn around the next day and go to a 100-year-old home. So it's more of a soil problem than anything, and there's lots of different culprits. So there could be erosion, it could be organic materials that are decomposing, just compressible soils. And so right. really any structure that is susceptible to this type of thing.
So you would deal with, because the erosion affects both a slab foundation and a pier and beam foundation, not exactly the same way, but there's no foundation that's a guarantee is what I'm getting at.
Right. Right. Yeah, I would say that, because it's a soil issue. You were talking about the way the home was constructed with the forms and the foundation all being put in place. If there's going to be a foundation issue, usually the problem occurs before that even. It's going to be something to do with the subgrade. Something that's happening could be 5 feet below ground, could be 15 or 20 feet below ground. So there's something going on with the soil that's causing the structure to settle. So we call it more, instead of a structural issue, it's more of a geotechnical issue or more of a soils problem is most often the culprit.
Soils?
Soils, yes, sir.
We have bad soils.
Bad soils. Bad soils. Soils that were disrupted, weren't compacted properly, weren't put in place properly.
Okay.
The grading contractor maybe, didn't layer it in properly and compacted as he was building it up. It could be that there was something there that he didn't even know about. It could be underground, it could be water traveling subgrade. So lots of different culprits for
magma.
This type of thing.
Could be magma.
I guess that's
lava,
a little deeper.
Things of that nature. The Earth's crust is moving.
Right? That's probably a little deeper than what we're talking yeah. about, but you get the
gist. We did have an earthquake here recently.
Sure, and that plays into it. Seismic as well, definitely.
Yeah. All right, I noticed there are a number of ways here that you can fix some of these things that you can fix a failing foundation. Let's talk about what to look for first. Obviously, I think if there's a massive crack in the middle of your floor,
that's a great indicator.
Like if you've got concrete floor or a tile floor,
yes,
and a crack forums, some people say, well, it's just settling. Don't worry about it. It's just settling. Is that a sales pitch or do you have a problem?
Well, not every crack is a problem. And that's why it's so important to have it diagnosed properly to begin with. a lot of cracks. Most homes have cracks of some magnitude, and it's just there's really not a set tolerance for what is an acceptable amount of movement. It's truly boils down to that particular owner's what they can handle. We see cracks that are very small hairline cracks that some people will just be very upset about, and then others that are the size you could slide a baseball into, and it doesn't seem to bother them. Mm-hmm. So there's really not a set tolerance there. But I would, and as a company, we set our tolerance at 1/4 inch. If you see a crack that has developed in the sheetrock or in the masonry or in the concrete wall that is the magnitude of around 1/4 inch, that's when we think it's important to start monitoring it, watching it, and being mindful that possibly in the near future you're going to need a repair.
Chad Costello with Atlas Pierce here with us. All right. You'd think that today, since it's a 1/4 inch crack, that in today's day of polymers and adhesives, you just squirt some stuff down in there, bond it back together, problem solved.
Sure. And I guess a lot of people try that. It doesn't always work out well in that, again, the soil is going to be most often a deeper problem, and you have to address the subgrade. So underpinning is a good method.
First of all, what is underpinning?
Underpinning is a method of putting steel piles into the ground to penetrate beyond the problem soil and down into a competent load-bearing strata. So what that means is essentially we're driving steel piles.
Everyday guy.
We're driving these. Say you have a compressible soil just below the foundations that's compressing and causing the settlement to occur. We'll attach these bracket assemblies directly to the foundation, drive the piers down vertically through the soil.
On a slab.
On a slab, so on a basement home.
You dug it down in there.
Yes, sir.
You got like a little cave down
there.
Yeah,
a little
house
small
above
hole.
You, you're in the dirt.
Yep, we're in the dirt, about 2 feet, a little 2 foot wide hole, probably extends out off the foundation 3 feet, just large enough so that a man can get down there and effectively mount the bracket to the footing. Once the bracket is mounted to the footer, we'll drive the piers into the ground. We say that we drive them down to load-bearing strata, essentially what that means here
bedrock
in the Jordan. Yes, sir, exactly.
Is it bedrock here?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. What else is there? Besides bedrock?
Well, I mean, you could go limestone, you could be in dense sand, you could be in any kind of dense load-bearing material and be effective, but what we find here, you know, close to Stone Mountain in the Atlanta region is we're driving down to partially weathered rock, which is the material that lies directly above bedrock.
All right. So you drive the pier down there, mm-hmm. and then you got the other end of it on the underside of the foundation, and what, do you just crank it up until the crack goes away? Or is there a method to that? Or
is there
a guy in the house going, a little more?
It can be like that. So monitoring the lift is very important, and it's very much so an art, and that it has to be done very strategically in order to get the crack to close back in the same manner that it originally formed. So it may take lifting on one pile or a pier.
And again, you're not trying to get rid of a crack. What you're doing is trying to level that because that little crack there in the middle of a house is not the issue. The issue is what is happening on either side of that crack.
Yes, right. Yeah, you're causing stress to the rest of the structure. As the building moves, you're starting to pull on framing components, electrical, plumbing, any of the other portions of the home could be under stress. So resting that differential settlement is the key, and that is the main goal of the process. However, I will say, we are very good at lifting structures. That's kind of our specialty. We go in and we like to restore and lift a home back to its original elevation. And as a result, the crack will disappear. So crack that has appeared, a lot of people come in and patch that crack like you had mentioned. But the right thing to do is to allow us to come in and underpin it, lift it back up, get it right to its elevation, and then patch the crack.
If you want to patch the crack.
If you want to patch it, yes.
I know in our next segment we want to talk about some things to look for. But I'm always reminded of a house that I bought a long, long time ago that over the threshold of the door where you commonly see a crack, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like coming up from the corner
right.
of the doorway. It kind of goes up at a diagonal that had been taped, embedded, and patched, embedded, and taped. So there was a visible topographical hump.
Right.
That,
sure.
You know, and it was just ignored. And when it finally got down to it, peeling off the years and years and years, I mean, the crack was probably 1.5 inches wide.
Sure, yeah.
It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that people should look for.
It is, yes. That's one of the things that we could utilize one of our systems to restore.
There's no other way to build a foundation. I mean, you wouldn't build a foundation and pre-underpin it. Right?
No, actually, we do have a market for that, a pretty big market as well. It's our new construction helical market. So we compete with a lot of the conventional type systems of drilled piers and pylons. So maybe a builder goes out and they have a questionable lot and, you know, not the greatest soils. They will hire us to come in ahead of time and install these piles into the foundation footprint of the home and then encase our product directly into their footing before they build. So there's definitely a no preventative kidding. Nature to our business. Yes, sir.
When someone pours a slab foundation, it's just that, 6-8 inches of concrete?
Usually has a thicker edge around, a thicker portion around the edge, but yes.
Okay.
6 to 8 inches.
But that's it?
Right. But the footings will be thicker, typically on the edges. We call it a turndown foundation. So it's 6 or 8 inches thick at the slab portion. And then when you get to the edge, you may be 12 or 16 inches thick.
And I'm guessing you guarantee your work?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah, anything that we do, we'll provide a warranty. Our standard warranty is for 50 years, and I should mention that it's a guarantee of no movement whatsoever, no limitations, and no tolerance. And that's really
transferable
one of the,
when I sell it?
It belongs to the property regardless of who owns
kidding.
It.
No kidding.
Yes, sir.
50 years.
50 years, no movement, and that is the one thing that sets us apart from our competitors.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yes, sir.
You can go to atlaspiers.com if you'd like to check out their website. They're also, the telephone number is 770-740-0400, 770-740-0400. When we get back, I want to talk about what people can look for besides the crack I just talked about. Is it all cracks? Is there other signs of a bad foundation that might not be completely visible?
Sure, yeah.
To the naked eye?
Uneven floors are another giveaway. Displaced structural members within the floor. The sinkholes are something that we often look for, and you know, organic debris pits that are decomposing too close to a home could be a potential problem. So, but yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. And the cracks around the doors, the windows, in the masonry and in the sheetrock are most often what homeowners will see and before they call us.
All right, when we get back, we'll talk about some of the things to look for. Also, pier and beam foundations and how they differ from a slab foundation, and maybe we can help listeners understand what the difference is.
Sure. Yes, sir.
All right. It's the Remodeling Expo Home Show. I am Shannon Burke. Chad Costello is joining us from Atlas Piers. We'll be right back after this.
The Home Show with Shannon Burke will continue on News Radio 106.7.